Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
Good morning and welcome to Moonee Ponds Baptist Church online service. It's my privilege this morning to bring the Word of God to you. We've been working through our way through the Gospel of Mark with our pastor, Ian Dix, teaching us over the past 4 weeks about what it means to encounter Jesus. You know, reading the Gospel of Mark is a great way to get to know Jesus. It's a magnificent gospel. It's very, very short, which is pretty popular in the modern age. It's thought to have been influenced by Peter, who is one of the most famous apostles of all. And it's very easy to read. It's similar in content to Matthew and Luke, but it's much more emotive. It's actually got a lot more emotional connection, very personal and deep than Matthew or Luke or John. So, you know, I find that looking into the Gospel of Mark is always a really helpful thing, and especially in a time like now where we're all separated. We've all got to stay at home. In some ways, I can tell you right now, I deeply, deeply, deeply miss the fellowship. At the same time, it provides an opportunity. It provides an opportunity for us to find new ways to connect with each other. It provides an opportunity for new ways for us to think about each other and to pray for each other. So let's get into it. Our friend Leela is reading the scriptures for us today.
Hi. This reading comes from Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 20. Parable of the farmer scattering seed. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him. So he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one.
Thank you, Leela. You know, Jesus liked teaching by the lake, otherwise known as the Sea of Galilee. It's a remarkable place. It's the lowest freshwater lake in the world. It's 210 meters below sea level. It's massive. It's 53 kilometers around. It's 43 meters deep. It's an amazing place. And Jesus went there quite a lot. It's the lake that he walked on. It is the place where he went to teach on many occasions. On this particular occasion, you can see that Jesus used the natural acoustics of the water to be able to teach a large crowd without an amplifier. It's good to be able to see how it's done. One of the things that I find interesting is the way in which Jesus was able to draw such a crowd. You know, who wants to go along and listen to somebody telling stories or talking about God? Well, you're all listening today, so there must be some people today that are still listening. But I suspect that Jesus was really able to draw a crowd, partly because, as we've just read in the first few chapters, that he was known to be a miracle worker. And I think people were especially eager to go along and see if he was as amazing as was rumored. On this occasion, they may have not been quite as impressed. We don't know. But it says here that Jesus taught by parable. And you can ask the question, what's a parable? Everyone knows that. Oh, it's a thing that Jesus used. But what is a parable? Well, a parable is simply a short story using familiar scenes to explain spiritual truth. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The key is that this kind of teaching forces the listener to think for themselves. If you don't want to learn, well, you won't. Each story in a parable generally has one sort of central point, and it's best not to overanalyze a parable. Jesus liked also to use seed parables. You know, after all, everybody likes it when their plants grow. Let's go and have a look at what he gets into in this particular story.
Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted.
Now, that's a pretty simple story. Doesn't even appear to have a plot twist. A farmer goes out, scatters some seed, some birds go and get some, eat some of it up, off a path. Other grows and dies. It's very cheery. Some others grows and gets choked by the weeds. Still more grows and goes on to produce a crop. That's the satisfying part. So that's the earthly part, but what in the world is the heavenly meaning? What do we learn from this? Now, of course, many of us have heard the story before because Jesus is famous now and these stories are famous. But at first hearing, I'd have to say it'd be pretty confronting to try and learn something from it. Let's see what Jesus gave them.
Then he said, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand."
Thanks, Jesus. That was super helpful. Now you really are wanting us to think for ourselves, aren't you? I hope I'm not the only one who struggles with this. In fact, I know I'm not the only one who struggles with this. The apostles struggled with it too, so it means I'm in fairly good company.
Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parable meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven."
Now let me get this straight. All of these people gathered, they heard a farming story and didn't get an explanation. The apostles came to them later. The 12 came when Jesus was alone. That means everyone else went home. What was that conversation like at the dinner table that night? I wonder if they speculated about the meaning. Or maybe they all were able to work out in some ways. And maybe it wasn't only the 12. But Jesus says here that this is a secret, that he says that the 12 were privileged and very privileged to be able to get the secrets of the kingdom of God. Now, this seems a little bit tricky to understand in some ways. Why would Jesus want to be exclusive? But in fact, he wasn't. Because right now, we all have the Bible. We all have the account of the apostles. And Jesus here, he was really telling these parables and he was really providing these lessons for the apostles. It was for them that he was doing all of this. And whilst the crowds were important and no doubt needed to hear something of Jesus and see something of Jesus, Jesus had a grand master plan. And the key was to develop those disciples. And they showed a great quality here. They wanted to understand, so they asked questions. And Jesus here is highlighting the point that people who don't ask questions, strangely enough, don't get answers. You know, that was my life for many years in a spiritual sense. I assumed that the gospel was rubbish, but I never really looked into it. I didn't read the Bible. I didn't actually try to understand what was going on. was quite shocked when I did. But even now as a Christian, that personality trait of sort of assuming that you've already got it covered is still a great risk. And my risk is that I assume that I know it all when I don't. Without asking questions, it's hard to make any progress at all. Asking questions is a sign of humility. It's, I don't know, so I want to ask. And it's very, very, very important that when you do ask, you understand something. There is a real risk that you won't like the answer.
Then Jesus said to them, "If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables?"
Ouch. See, the interesting thing here is this is a unique insight from the Gospel of Mark. The same parable is recorded in Luke and Matthew, and neither records this little barb from Jesus. It's a, like he wanted to poke a bit of fun at the disciples. In fact, it's pretty clear that he did. And my kind of guy, actually, I really appreciate somebody who is prepared to have a little bit of a dig and a, here and there. Maybe Jesus could have been an Aussie. Well, after all, he made the Aussies. I guess that's the case. You see, Jesus here is making sure that the disciples remember the lesson because, after all, he knew that they would be the foundation of the church. He knew that they would be the ones who would be going on and passing on the gospel, passing on the good news, and they were the ones who were going to be able to take it to the whole world. So they had to be prepared for the job. Fortunately, Jesus does then go on to explain the parable. And so after all of this lead-in, let's start down looking at the parable and have a look what he says about the seed scattered on the path.
The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away.
Jesus is brutally clear. There's not much in the way of an explanation that's needed here. The reality is that some people are like seed on the path, the seed representing the word of God. So the person, in some way, at that point in time, is represented by the path. And you see, when someone has been walked over or driven on, there is a tendency to become hardened. And when somebody is hardened, there is no chance of the word of God getting in because the person has their shields up around their heart. They're, nope, I am not listening. I am not taking in. I am not going to take into account exactly what it is you are saying here. Now, we all do this sometimes. Now, one of the things is where we could all be any of the four kinds of soil that we're talking about here, but Jesus is really making it very, very clear that we can all do this sometimes. We can get stubborn. We don't want to learn. I can think that I know it all, as I said before, and refuse to learn. You see, while being hardened and cynical can make us feel tough, in reality, it makes us helpless. When we don't take in the word of life, love, and hope, we never break through to get the satisfaction from life that we're all seeking. It's just all taken away. It's a tough place to be. And we don't want to wish that on anyone. I don't want that in any aspect for my life, even though I sometimes take myself there. And it's terrible that we can become hardened and then be helpless. We are helpless to defend ourselves if we're not prepared to be soft and vulnerable. It's actually a paradox, but it's the truth. And it's very, very important that Jesus says here that we need to be prepared to receive the word in a way that is not like a hardened path if we're ever going to be able to get any benefit from it.
The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems and are persecuted for believing God's word.
And then we are. Now we've been to the seed on the rocky places. Now, here, Jesus emphasizes the requirement to have depth and commitment in our response to the gospel. He also makes a bit of a promise here. He promises that when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, it's a when, it's not an if. So it's going to come. Everybody knows that the gospel is good news. It's the good news of the freedom from sin, of Jesus dying for us, of a resurrection that promises eternal life. However, it doesn't guarantee that you are always going to have a good time. There will be temptations, pleasures to chase, frustrations. Well, even in a church, people can be very annoying to one another. And persecution. People who reject the gospel will sometimes mock you, maybe even attack you. Jesus isn't the world's most slick salesman. He's not promising that life will be a dream. It's not like Lotto. He is promising that we, if we have a superficial response to the gospel, he's actually promising us that we will struggle. And so he's calling us to something higher. Let's keep on going and see what that is.
The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire of other things, so no fruit is produced.
Now, this is getting really close to home. I'm not even sure that I need to discuss this. I probably don't even want to. For many of us, this is our life. We focus on this life, the here and now, what we've got to do, our jobs, our family responsibilities, our friends, all these other sort of things. And we focus on this life rather than our eternal future. We chase after wealth, entertainment, relationships, and we pour a lot of energy into things that will not last. And none of these things are bad in and of themselves. It's all a question of focus. And so when it's your exclusive focus, it becomes impossible to clear space to be able to focus on the things that are eternal. Right now, many of us are anxious and upset by the pandemic. We are so used to being in control, or at least having our other people in control, that we don't know how to cope when a really simple virus bypasses so much of our technology and knowledge and makes us stay at home, or in some ways hide at home to avoid either spreading or catching the virus. We know, and I know, that nothing is achieved by worry. I know that material wealth is actually an illusion. As the old saying goes, you can't take it with you. So we often find ourselves with lives choked up by these things. Pleasures, chasing after wealth, all of these, as I said, in and of themselves, each one of them is not bad. But when it becomes all-consuming, it can lead you to the point where you go, did I ever actually set out to achieve what I set out to achieve? We all know that one day our life is going to end. We will face death. And the question we've got to ask ourselves is, well, what do we want our focus to have been? You see, and Jesus is talking about the stuff of eternal life. He's talking about the promise of being with God forever. This is the whole purpose of his ministry, is that freedom for eternity, that life that is beyond anything we can imagine, where this life is but a shadow of the reality of what is to come. He's making a big call here for us to think more broadly and more deeply than we are naturally or sometimes physically inclined to do.
And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted.
And now we come to the encouraging part. Jesus finishes off on a high. He tells us very clearly that accepting the word of life, focusing on him rather than our day-to-day tasks and troubles, will make our life abundantly fruitful. This means that we will influence others to see the love of Jesus. They'll see it in our lives. It means that we will live lives filled with spiritual fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things against which there is no argument. Who doesn't want that? We do. We know that these things, these eternal qualities, are so incredibly valuable. We inherently know that the things that we admire most in people are when they stand on principle, when they pursue right decisions, when they live with integrity. We know this. Now, we all fall short so many times, but that is what Jesus has come for. He says, I can pick you up. I can help you out. Your mistakes are not permanent. They are temporary. They are erased. When you receive the gospel into your life, when you learn from Jesus, when you listen to the teachings and apply them, you become a fruitful person. And these qualities start increasing in you day by day. It's not like a magic transformation. But these qualities that we're seeking, these character traits that we're developing, we continue to grow. See, a lot of the times we make a mistake in life. We think that, you know, we have a childhood when we grow into the person that we're going to be, and then we're an adult. And, you know, and by the time you're 25 or 30, you've pretty much peaked. And then it's just a case of living in denial and dyeing your hair and, I don't know, doing whatever to pretend that you're not really declining until you die. That's a pretty poor way of living. But Jesus says something so much better. Your childhood is just growing as a human being. Your adulthood is an opportunity to a lifelong adventure of learning and growing and deepening your character. Every single day is an opportunity to learn and bear fruit. Every single day is a chance for us to be able to grow in the depths of our knowledge of God. And you see that Jesus, in this parable, by laying out so starkly the options to be hard-hearted, to be shallow and superficial, to be choked up to try and take in the word, but also to take on the world, or to be free and fruitful. He lays out these options and he says they're your choices. And they're a daily choice that you can make about how you want to respond. And yes, you know, as we said at the start, you know, you look at how he taught with parables, sort of forcing us to think. And you can see in that God, he's not trying to have relationships with us that somehow or other have us just living up to some sort of perfection standard. He wants a real and genuine relationship with us where we freely come because we choose to, where we make free decisions because we want to follow him, where we fight off persecution, resist temptation, overcome stubbornness, and we're able to become those fruitful and abundant people we want to be. And that's what happens when we encounter Jesus. See, the thing I love about this story is that what Jesus is doing is he's laying out choices. He's not speaking in the sense of like, oh, well, do this or else. He's not speaking in a way that says, oh, well, I will do everything for you. He's presenting the truth and inviting us to follow. He provides the answers when we ask questions. And he has fun with us along the way. One of the things that happens when we encounter Jesus, we see this amazing person. For me, it was the Gospel of Mark that helped me to start even beginning to believe in God. I saw in Jesus a guy who was amazingly knowledgeable, deeply insightful, beyond any world of insight that I could even imagine. Highly personal, because the things that he said were highly relevant to me. And absolutely inspiring. I'm hoping that for all of us, as we go through, as we read the scriptures, as we pray together, as we worship together, that this is the kind of encounter that we are having with Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you that we can learn about Jesus. Right now, we have a time that we perceive as being difficult. We know it's not. Nothing is difficult in comparison to your mighty power. Nothing is difficult in comparison to the truth of your word. Lord, help us to see how your incomparable power, how your incomparable love, how your inconceivable knowledge is taking care of everything, and help us to be faithful and focused on you. Lord, I pray that we can be free, that we can shake off all the things that trouble us. The Lord, that we can be deep and willing to go into things and to learn and to ask those questions. And that, Lord, that we can resist the temptation to be hardened and cynical. Lord, I pray for everyone who is out there listening to this and all of our friends and family. Help us, Lord, to rediscover the joy of relationships with you and with each other as you mean them to be. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.